Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, January 13th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Oh, another day.
True.
It's good to be here. It really is. It's better to be here than not be here.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Don't you agree with that?
I agree with that. It might be an improvement to be someplace else. I'm wondering if we could broadcast from Tahiti or at least Hawaii or something like that. I don't know.
We can work on that.
This is okay.
Well, I just want to tell the listeners that tomorrow we will have Greg Hunter from USA Watchdog joining us for the program tomorrow. Wendy Wilson, she was rescheduled for Thursday for the first segment of the program. So Greg Hunter tomorrow and Wendy Wilson for Thursday. And it's Alfred and myself today. And gold today, it was up, 12:45 on the high today. And but she's looking at 12:32. 12:32 down $2 today for gold. Silver up 44 cents. Finally, woohoo, over 17. 17.15. $17.15. Platinum, $1,244. It's been up and down today. Had a high of 1253. That pulled off the high. Right now it's showing unchanged, but we're looking at 1244. And palladium up 5 at $818. The USDX today, of course, was trading stronger. 0.23 to the upside. 92.27. Crude oil up a few cents. 0.38 at 46.45. Paper markets today. The Dow was up triple digits early morning trade, and it slid, and looks like it's down 27 points at 17,613. You have the NASDAQ down 3 points, 46.61. S&P about the same, 2,023. 10-year just keeps on dropping. 0.189%, 0.189%, down 0.02 for the 10-year yield today. So, Al,
yes.
Remember Y2K?
That was before my time.
Was
but
that
I've,
before
I've read
time?
A book
Have
about
you read
it.
About it?
I've read a book about it, so I'm okay. A little bit familiar.
Well, there's looking to another this year. I don't think you'd call it Y2K. Maybe Y2015K, I don't know. But it's a leap second. leap second that threatens to break the internet. And this is going to happen this summer, and it could threaten to wreak havoc across the internet. What's interesting, there was already one of these leap seconds, and last week the International Earth Rotation and Reference Systems Service declared that we're all living about a second ahead of where we should be.
Oh my gosh.
The Earth's rotation.
That's scary, Melody.
Isn't that a whole second? The Earth's rotation has slowed, and we'll need an extra second for the planet to catch up. So we're, you know, hey, this is time travel. The International Earth Rotation and Reference System Service announced that the leap second will take place on June 30th. And the problem is that the computer software that controls much of the web, the article says, doesn't play nicely with leap seconds. The previous leap second, which took place in 2012, brought down Reddit, Yelp, LinkedIn, Foursquare, and a lot of other ones. Qantas entire computer system went down for hours, of course, forcing employees to check in passengers by hand, the old-fashioned way. And the code for most web apps is based on Unix software that traces its roots to 1970, 2 years before leap seconds ever existed. So,
how did we get along without leap seconds prior to 1970?
Don't know.
You know, we might be, it may not be that we're just going to be a second off. We may be 10 seconds altogether, or 20 seconds, or even half a minute. Imagine that, Melody. We might be a half a minute further into the future than we should be. Or is it, are we a half minute further into the past than we should be? Which does it go? Which is it, Art?
Tomato, tomato. When leap seconds happen, the IERS tells computers that the last minute of that day will have 61 seconds. And, of course, this makes the software go
crazy. Then we'll be able to catch up on our sleep, won't we?
Yeah, a whole second. How about that?
Yeah, if you're asleep at midnight, you'll be able to catch up on your sleep a little bit thanks to the leap second, the additional leap second.
Google developed what it calls one of its coolest workarounds around a 2005 leap second, made some of its computer systems to stop accepting new commands. To avoid the leap second issue, Google gradually adds a couple of milliseconds to its server's clocks throughout the day when a leap second is to occur, just enough to stave off any type of disaster by the end of the day, but not enough to trip any alarm bells when the adjustments are made. The bad news is that leap seconds continue to disrupt web services even after Google tells the world how to fix it. So, a whole second. I mean, to me, this is a sign. I mean, really?
You know, they talk about black swans. You know, you got the black swan event.
The black
swan. I think what we're really getting into is we have to keep our eyes peeled for a Daffy Duck event. All right. He's kind of a black duck rather than a black swan, if you remember. Some of this is just ridiculous.
The
world is going to come to an end because there's an extra second someplace. I wouldn't care. It doesn't bother me if we never correct this leap second thing. I don't mind losing a second every couple of years or gaining a second. I don't care which way it goes. I don't know. You know, this is just bizarre. We're going to have a black Daffy Duck event coming up, and the world will come to an end because there was a leap second.
A leap second. But there have been 25 leap seconds, 25 of them, since they were introduced in 1972. Earthquakes and volcanic eruptions have a tendency to slow down the Earth's rotation, as do gravitational forces from the moon and other celestial bodies.
You know, another thing we could do is we could all face east. Get up in the morning at the same time. Everybody around the world at the same time, we face east exactly at 8 a.m. in the morning. It might be different times, different places. We all face east, and we all blow in that direction, if you get my... And we would, by all blowing at the same time, we might make the Earth move. get my, can you see my ID here, Millie?
Yeah. Even if there was a leap second every year, and there isn't, the Earth would only be 16 minutes behind schedule in the year.
As compared to what?
In the year 3015.
I don't think I'm going to be here for that, probably. Yeah. I'm not expecting 3015. That's only, what, 1,000 years from now?
Yeah.
16 minutes in 1,000 years. I don't know. I don't think, I'm not going to get too concerned about this. And I don't think it'll be any bigger than Y2K.
Well, I don't either. But you know what? It's funny because when I saw this, I'm thinking, you know, do seconds really mean that much? And if the whole computer system is still based on something so silly to us, it's just another sign of how fragile the systems, and the bigger and bigger they become, the more complex they become, to where something as simple as getting off a second, which kind of just blows my mind, how do you get off a second anyway?
But is it a full second, Melody, or is it only 9/10 of a second? Or maybe it's 1.1 and 1/10 of a second. Or is it exactly 1 second?
It's 1 second from Jupiter's Sirius left every 48 seconds to the millimeter.
Well, Melody, we are now completely off in a world that I don't want to say that I understand the world that I've been inhabiting up until now, but I'm definitely, this is out of my depth.
Well, let's move on to EU countries before we head into the break. I found this interesting today. There's a proposed 315 billion euro, which is about $371 billion, European Union investment plan. Now, it says the top official, European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker, said they want member states to contribute more money to get the continent's flagging economy back on the upswing. The fund is meant to reduce the risks of investment for private investors and encourage them to spend on strategic projects like broadband, internet, energy networks, and small companies. Juncker told EU legislators he would like individual countries to participate in great numbers by giving into this investment plan by financing it. The Commission is urging a fast-track legal approval of the fund so it can launch in June to help kickstart growth and create jobs, to encourage countries to take part in the plan. Juncker's Commission, which supervises EU member budget plans, said it would take a favorable position on any contributions when it assessed the public finances of participating nations. So here's another thing. You know, taxpayers, cometh, give us your money. Put it into this investment fund so we can take more of your money. And
suffer the little taxpayers to come unto me with their taxes. That's the word from the government. Bring us your taxes, your savings, your huddled masses yearning to get back up into the middle class.
And we'll call it an investment fund.
That's exactly right.
Backed by your government. Backed by the European Commission.
Backed by, ultimately, the people.
The people.
Won't get any benefit out of this, more than likely.
Mm-mm.
But they will get the costs. I don't know. What can you say? For me, you know, again, is this a black swan event? Is this a Daffy Duck event? It's the sort of thing where it appears to be so irrational that it's kind of funny. It's probably not funny at all. But it's like watching Yosemite Sam. And there are a lot of people who probably don't even remember who Yosemite Sam is, but he was in the bug. He was one of the bad guys in the Bugs Bunny cartoons back in the day. And you can just see him tiptoeing into the room full of explosives, and he lights a match or whatever. That's where our government is right now. It's kind of like a cartoon. There may be a big explosion. Everybody's going to be damaged by this thing, but I don't know what to make of it sometimes. It's evidence. Some of these stories are just they seem foolish. And if they are as foolish as they seem, it's not evidence of comedy. It's evidence of desperation. All right? There are people that are saying, well, let's try this. We got to do something. Let's do this. And somebody said, I don't think that. Well, yeah, but we've got to kick the can down the road a little further. We might be able to buy another month or two or even 6 months, and we can do this, and who knows? If we buy enough time, maybe we'll find something that actually makes some sense, or we might get lucky. And that's the way the economies around the world seem to be functioning to some degree. Now, they're still intact, I get that, but you know, you have to wonder how long can this continue.
Well, we see so many of these leaves in the breeze, and it just confirms and supports what we talk about on the program, the truth that we bring to the listeners compared to all the mainstream media falsehoods and the lies that come out of Washington and out of Wall Street. And certainly there's no fundamentals on Wall Street. The only fundamentals for Wall Street and those paper investments is Janet Yellen, the Federal Reserve,
yeah,
and Ben Bernanke before her, and all those prior to them. It's that is what is holding up Wall Street. And, you know, once you see all that money in the European Union, all the trillions of dollars that they're going to create and put into their markets, you'll probably see money pull out of our markets and go there. Because they'll be the same fundamentals supporting those markets as what has supported ours for the last year. So it's and the only ones that are getting wealthier are those that control it. Are the
and
elite.
Those that are associated with corporations, major corporations.
And they're all part of the game. They're all part of the elite. They're all their lapdogs. They're the lapdogs.
Part of the game, but they're certainly a beneficiary of the way the game is being played right now. Our interest rates are so low that banks are reluctant to lend to anyone other than the highest creditors. Now, I know we have subprime mortgages and subprime auto buying, and that argues against what I'm trying to communicate. But just the same, when the interest rates drop to irrationally low levels, banks can't make money by lending, right? The risk that Joe Sixpack is out there and he wants to borrow $250,000 for a house, and the banks are looking at him and say, you know, we're not making enough money off this loan to compensate for the risk that Joe's going to be put out of work, and we're going to lose money on this loan. And therefore the banks say, I know what we'll do. We'll only loan to the big corporations that are sure to repay the debt. When the interest rate is so low that you can't make a decent return, the only thing the banks can do, or the most rational thing they can do, is lend to the big corporations. And they've been doing that over a period of years now. And the big corporations said, thank you very much. They're borrowing money that the average American can't access. They have interest rates that are extremely low, and they are using the money, or they've used the money, to buy their own stock back, for example. Well, if you're associated with those major corporations, you can get rich. But if you're down here living in the middle class or anywhere close to it, and you'd like to buy a house or a car or whatever, it was a different situation. Again, we've shifted to some degree to subprime, back to subprime mortgages and subprime auto loans. But part of the reason that there's income inequality in this country is, from my perspective, because the Federal Reserve has dropped the interest rate down close to zero, and therefore they primarily only lend to major corporations, and therefore the only people that are making money are those people that are in or close to these major corporations. And to say the only people, that's an exaggeration, of course, but I think you understand what I'm trying to say. Low interest rates, it's great for Wall Street, doesn't really help Main Street at all. Let's take a break, Melody, and we've got a couple of commercials for folks to listen to and enjoy. And Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a couple of minutes. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Does the cost and risk of conventional healthcare concern you? Wouldn't you prefer inexpensive solutions to health problems rather than disease management? If so, tune into Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Two specials today, and I think the listeners have heard them before. We're going to continue because, you know, folks, $75 over a Gold Eagle coin. You can't go wrong when you're purchasing Mint State 61 $20 gold pieces, either the Saint or the Liberty at $1,375. And, of course, we're going to have some 90% silver quarters and dimes, $25 face value mixture, quarters and dimes, $370, and that includes your shipping costs. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. 90% silver, it's great. It's an inexpensive way to buy your silver in an extreme emergency. You're still able to take those coins to the store and spend them or barter them if you had to. And people say, well, people are too dumb. They're not going to know how to trade in gold and silver when difficult times come. And I disagree. I can remember in the 70s in the gas lines when we had the oil embargoes and everything going on. Gasoline station, if you pay with pre-65 coinage, you'll receive 10, 20% discount. This last time, Oregon, there was places that clients told me along the same venue where they would offer discounts. And if you paid in that type of coinage, maybe you got free gas or discounts or so forth. So if you're a businessman or a businesswoman, you adapt to whatever is happening in order to, you know, continue. Or guess what? You don't get to feed your children. So you close your doors. So people are smart enough, and they'll adapt to how quickly they have to, very quickly. Yeah. And those that don't, well, they will close their doors and go hungry and die. So
now they'll pick up on this quick enough if the dollar.
Some will,
tanks.
Not all.
That's
though.
What this comes down.
Yeah, but Absolutely.
They've got the idea that gold is better than paper, and they'll learn this, and it won't take them long. You're going to get into debates, and somebody says, you know, a silver dollar should be enough to pay for my groceries, and the other guy's going to say, no, I have to have at least two silver dollars to pay for that amount of groceries, and you wind up settling for one silver dollar and, I don't know, some junk silver, you know, half a dollar's worth of junk silver. Hard to say how this is going to go. There'll be debates. It'll be, you know, it'll be a certain amount of bartering, but you got to have something to barter. If the world breaks down into a... If the dollar does collapse or falls dramatically, significantly, then you're going to tend to move into something that's a little more like barter, certainly something that relies on silver and gold in private markets. You'll move in that direction, and at least you have something to barter. If you don't have any gold or silver, in a worst-case scenario, and the paper markets, the paper currency disappears, you know, you can perhaps barter on the basis of your good looks if that's what you think will work, but it probably won't work all that well. You can need something tangible.
And you might have to go to jail if you're caught.
What we're talking about is the possibility that we're headed into difficult economic times. And that's what we talk about as a general rule on this program. And we do that not just to beat a dead horse, but to alert people to the idea that we seem to be getting closer and closer to a possibly difficult situation. We see reports, and virtually everyone in the audience has heard it, where the Treasury Department is taking bids on some sort of survival kits for some of its employees that go out and audit banks to see if they are functioning properly and they've got the right amount of capital to back them up and whatever. And they include a thermal blanket, for God's sake, right? Which means they think these guys may go out on a job. They're going to the First National Bank of Dallas. They're not going to the First National Bank of Podunk, Nebraska. That's not what they're worried about. They're talking about people that are going to banks in major cities and the possibility of some sort of an economic or political problem that's so severe that these people need water purification tablets and a thermal blanket. They're betting that these people aren't going to make it home for dinner. That's not my bet. That's a bet that's coming out of the United States Treasury Department. Now, I don't know if the people have lost their minds or not, but it's one of those things you can't help but look at and think, if you assume that these people have any clue to what they're doing, unless you think they're all just crazy and incompetent, which I don't think that's true. I think they're caught in a difficult position that they may not be able to think their way through, but I don't think they're incompetent. They're doing maybe the best they can under the circumstances, at least best for them, best for somebody. But if they think there's going to be a moment when bank examiners need water purification tablets and a thermal blanket that can be reused, among other things, in this little survival kit that they're taking bids for, it indicates that there are people in positions of power that actually agree with what we're talking about in this program. This isn't just doom and gloom and fear-mongering and the rest of that. It's just we are attempting to make credible warnings and present credible reasons why we may be on the verge of a serious problem. Now, is the problem going to take place? I don't know. Is it going to take place this week? I don't know. Going to take next week, next month, next year? I don't know when it's going to happen, and neither does anyone else. But we keep seeing evidence, and we see no evidence to the contrary other than whatever cheerleading you can get out of President Obama and the Congress and the Senate. And they might tell us, oh, everything's great, everything's going along, the recovery is well on its way, America's prospering and the rest of it. And we're just trying to say, no, that doesn't appear to be true. There is evidence to the contrary. I don't know where we're going precisely. I don't know how fast we're going to get there. But the weight of the evidence is you'd better get ready. You should be prepared as best you can. We may see a difficult time in the near future. And if you agree with that assessment, we're trying to give you evidence as well. Look at this, look at this, look at this. If it looks reasonable to you, then you have to act accordingly or ignore it if you want. You can ignore that information if you want. But if the moment comes, you know, you're going to wish that, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have ignored that information. I should have done something. I should have acted when I had a chance. It's like having a life preserver on the Titanic. You know, given that everyone knows the Titanic can't possibly sink, what do we need life preservers for? It's just foolishness. It's like having a buggy whip on your automobile. We don't need that. Well, as it turns out, those life preservers may have made the difference between some people surviving and some people not surviving. We're in a similar position right now. Maybe we're on the Titanic, maybe we're not on the Titanic. But it's not a bad idea to keep a life preserver pretty close at hand. Not a bad idea. Might not need it. Maybe we're going to get all the way to New York City. Won't be any problems. On the other hand, we are going through an ocean that is, there's a lot of icebergs out here. And maybe we can negotiate our way through them, and maybe we can't. We'll see.
And it really, you're right, we're on the ocean and there's a lot of icebergs, but look who built the Titanic. Look how reckless they were in driving and motoring the Titanic. And that is truly, you know, a big part of why the Titanic went down. So much like our systems, our financial systems. You know, it's those that are driving, it's those are the regulations, it's those that have allowed the corruptness, the banking system, the elite, the Illuminati. They're the ones that are behind this.
And you know who else?
That has destroyed the system, and it is a matter of time until it goes down.
You know, one of the things that I begin to appreciate more and more as time goes on, is we have people in positions of power where they're not because they are necessarily competent. They are there because they are particularly aggressive. Right? We have alpha males that manage to negotiate. They see the power, they see the office, they see the money that can be made. They want that office. And that's human nature. But there are some offices right now that have so much power that you can't afford to put someone in charge just because he's the toughest SOB on the block. There are matters that have to be dealt with in a way that is intelligent and ethical and responsible to the people. And what we have are sometimes psychopaths achieving positions of power, and they're just going to do something. We can admire them in many instances, say these are men of action, these are men of will and force and a bunch of other things. But the fact is, that's a poor qualification for achieving a position like chairman of the board for the Federal Reserve, or president of the United States, or speaker of the House, or whatever. We have to sit back and not just, and it's part of our nature. We want the most aggressive SOB we can find to be the leader, to exercise the power. And I'm not convinced that that's a good idea. I think we really need to sit back and say, wait a second. Maybe we need somebody who really understands what's going on here. Maybe we need someone who's not pushing to be the next chairman of the board of the Federal Reserve.
Perhaps that's what we need, but that's not what we're going to get.
I understand
so
that.
Until these guys are done and they ruin and continue to ruin the system,
I agree.
Until it collapses, we're past the point of returning to a system that is fair to all. That's done. It's over with. So, you know, we're on this path. There's the day of reckoning that is coming, and I mean that's all there is to it. So people have a choice; they have options, and then their choices and their options is, well, I go down with the ship, or I begin to prepare. And I positioned myself to protect myself in many different ways that best suits me. And we are here to help them do that when it comes to their finances. And it's that's where we're at. I mean, we can wish that we'd have the right politicians. We can, you know, support the few, the one or two that might be in there. But what are they going to do? They're going to fight everybody else? I don't think so. You know, they can, you know, I mean, and how many of them actually, you hear them talk the talk, but how many of them truly walk it? Very few. And, I mean, look at, I mean, even since Ron Paul left, I mean, look at the difference. I mean, you don't hear anybody questioning or having a serious discussion.
He's
on
not,
our,
it,
on our finances.
No,
on this, in this, I mean, nobody even talks about the budget anymore. Nobody even talks about the debt ceiling. Nobody even talks that we're $18 trillion and counting. And $200 trillion, depending on who you're talking about, when you add all those other things onto our debt. It's like, doesn't anybody get it? Yeah, they get it, but there's nothing they can do about it, so why bother? So they're there in order to take us down this little path. You know, until the day of reckoning appears. So people have a choice. They can wait. They can procrastinate. They can, you know, think that they're going to be sitting on the fence post, thinking that they can, you know, make last minute decisions to protect themselves. But I'm with everybody else in the camp that I think it will happen very quickly. Yeah, you're going to see gold fluctuate between 1200, 1300. It's going to go up. It's going to go down. It's going to go up. It's going to go down. You might have a stock. But when that black swan, or whatever you want to call it, when that happens, it will happen so quick, and you're going to see gold rise, and you're going to see people pull their funds, and they'll try to get into the market, and there won't be any gold or silver for them.
And
that's how it's going
to
happen.
Funds out of the bank,
and they'll be lucky if they get their funds out.
I mean, if they don't move now, we were talking yesterday about the bail-ins. And legalizing the idea that the banks, if they're in a bind, can simply take over the funds that have been deposited by their depositors. And you deposited $100,000 in the bank, and you thought it was yours, and they say, no, that's not your money anymore. That's our money. And that's just it. There isn't going to be a legal struggle over this. They're just going to say, we're taking your money. Now, if you thought to yourself, well, we'll just pull that $100,000 out of the bank and we'll buy ourselves some gold when times get difficult. If times get difficult and they take your $100,000, you're not only not going to have that $100,000, you're not going to have the gold you had anticipated purchasing. When is it going to happen? Don't know. When is it going to happen? Don't know. Could it happen? Absolutely. And insofar as this is another one. We're talking about how foolish, how silly it seems that bank examiners would have some sort of a survival kit to bring along with them when they go to examine whatever's going on some local bank. That seems foolish. Well, I had another one that was in mind and it skipped off while I started to explain that we were having a senior moment here, Melody, and I forgot.
I'm sorry. I haven't had any of those
hurts
yet.
Hurts me more than it. You haven't admitted any. You haven't admitted any yet. I admit them when I have them, Melody.
But what I do know, as far as the senior, we're going to be heading into a senior segment. Break. Senior break.
A senior break?
A senior break here in the next 30 seconds. But we have an email in from Ivan regarding the investigator. What happened in police? I guess there was a suicide. And we'll talk about his question when we get back right after the commercials.
All right. We will find more. We will learn more about a possible suicide in France.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll talk about it when we get back. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival.
Yes.
All your gold and silver coin needs at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, we got this email in about the police chief that was investigating the Paris attack committed suicide. And this is from a website. This is from Ivan. And this website is stating that they think that this whole thing in Paris was staged. I think that remains to be seen. However, we learned that the commissioner had committed suicide with his service weapon. Information confirmed by his superiors. It is unknown at this time the reasons for his actions. The commissioner, Helric Fridou, he's 45 years old. He began his career in 1997 as a police officer at the regional office of the judicial police of Versailles. Before returning to Limoges, he was deputy director of the regional police service since 2012. His father was a former police officer. His mother was a nurse. He was single and had no children. And this website feels that he was probably murdered since he was doing the investigation, and they did not find any documentation that he was assembling.
So I think it's a suicide, or at least for the moment, that's the official story.
That's the official story.
And maybe he ate all that documentation before he shot himself.
Maybe.
Do you think about that?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. What does it all mean? You know, you get so many stories. It's very difficult to believe anything. You know, it's difficult to believe what you receive over the internet. It's interesting. It's well done. There was one writer, I can't think of her name. I'm not even sure if it's a female. But she wrote for, she was associated with a Russian publication, if I recall correctly. And brilliant writer.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I saw her work, I thought, oh my gosh.
Saatchi. Sorcha.
That's it. Sorcha Fall.
Yeah.
Isn't that it?
Yeah.
That's Sorcha Fall. Mm-hmm. I think that was who it was. I don't know if it's a man or female, or if it's a pseudonym for half a dozen people that are writing together as a group. I don't know what it was, but it was always well done. Everything I saw was always well done. And at first I was
very believable.
Oh my gosh, this was very. Yeah, I was convinced. Now over time I realized this is just horrible. Hoax. That's all she's producing. She, he, whatever. So what do you believe? And what you perhaps have to do is you have to learn to use your own eyes, your own ears, and you're going to have to discern for yourself whether or not, am I getting some truth, or am I being deceived? You know, and you're going to have to take responsibility for making that determination. And most people don't want to. They want, you know, someone else to tell them what to think. But we are living in a world when there's so many people telling you what to think. In the end, it's going to force you to think for yourself or just shut down, go in a hole someplace where, you know, you don't have to listen to anyone and no one asks you to make a decision. But strange times. Strange times. You know, again, when I was a boy, a young man, there was a kind of consensus in this country. And the consensus may have been wrong. I'm not arguing that consensus was true. But at that time, I had a lot of confidence that whatever ideas I had were pretty much mainstream. I was going along with everybody else. And it gives you a certain amount of confidence. I don't have that right now. You know, if you've got any ideas that you hold with any measure of passion or sincerity, you've got to be wondering, am I right? Am I wrong? And it's up to you and me. Make up our own minds. What else, Melody?
Well, let's go into retail. There's a lot of stores that are closing.
Yep.
A lot of their retail shops across this country. This week, two of the nation's giant retailers announced to employees and shoppers the closing of dozens of stores. Does that sound like a great economy to you, Al?
No. Macy's is closing 14 of its 790 stores. That's not a big number. It's only 1.7% of its stores, but Macy's is closing 14 stores. JCPenney is closing 39 of its 1,100 stores and laying off 2,250 workers. Again, not exactly a big deal. It's only about 3.5% of its stores. But the article continues, says that's just the beginning of the retail earthquake hitting America. I believe we're on the verge of a number of business failures of specialty retailers as well as some national general retailers, which in turn will have a domino effect on those dealing with the retail industry, said bankruptcy expert Chuck Tattlebaum. Because the changes in buying habits of U.S. consumers as a result of a continuing hesitancy to spend. The 2014 holiday season was not sufficiently successful for many retailers that have either overexpanded, fell out of favor, or had insufficient capital and merchandise. Here's an early report. You know, I've talked about it a little earlier. When do we get a report on what really happened over the Christmas retail season? This is the big season for a lot of retailers. They make 70-80% of their money in that holiday season. And if this has been a bad holiday season, it does not bode well for the economy. We're seeing a preliminary report here that suggests Christmas wasn't that great. They go on, they talk Sears, been around for 122 years, closing 235 underperforming stores. Sears and Kmart lost $296 million in 2014. Let's see, during 2014, Sears Holding closed about 200 of the Sears and Kmart stores, and it's not clear. I think that means they closed 200 during 2014, and they anticipate closing another 225 in 2015. The article isn't clear, but a couple hundred Sears stores are closing or have already closed, and perhaps another couple hundred maybe closed in the near future. C. Wonder, a preppy retailer, is going out of business. Wet Seals closing 338 retail stores. Let's see, in the Aeropostale has closed 75 stores during the holiday season. Well, it should have been. I mean, you should have at least, this is when you might make some money. You got to hang on at least during the holiday season. Now they said they were out of here. They effectively closed down. They'll close another 50 to 75 stores in 2015. Radio Shack closed 175 locations in 2014 and they are attempting to close another 1,100 stores. That's almost 1,300 stores total in 2014 and perhaps 2015, an average of about 25 stores per state. Is Radio Shack going completely out of business, Melody?
Well, they're close to bankruptcy, so yeah, you know, whether they reorganize and keep what they have, they just never really kept up. I always liked Radio Shack, but they just haven't kept up with, you know, it's hard to compete with Best Buy.
Yeah.
And, I don't think they ever found their little niche to some degree, but...
I agree with that. And, one way or another, it failed.
But you know what? But you know what's interesting, too? And then we'll move on and we can talk about the home builders drop. How much can you blame? You know, I watch CNBC and, yeah, I don't pay much attention to what they say. But, you know, you have to know what your enemy's doing. So I watch CNBC. I watch some of the other financial news programs. And, you know, they build up these... You know, like Amazon and some of these other online sellers a product, and they don't address JCPenney's in the same way. They don't address Sears in the same manner. And you have a lot of these little shops like Wet Seal and some of these other ones that are in that retail shopping mall venue. So, you know, when the media talks poorly and try to, and you have to admit, you know, you have these financial news programs that push towards online selling and so forth. They truly are damaging, you know, a lot of your mom and pop shops in your local communities and so forth. And,
it's hard to know if these financial programs are damaging or they're simply reporting the news. The world is shifting to online buying. The article we're reading from, online shopping is most often cited as the major problem for brick and mortar retail stores. Online sales now account for about 13% of all retail sales.
Well, now I think they kind of do promote, you know, the certain things because that's where they make their money, though, too. I mean, certainly they're not going to admit it, and certainly you can't prove it. But, I mean, when you really look at who they have on their little talking heads on a daily basis, it's all those, you know, they're only going to promote certain ones and so forth.
Well,
I mean, when was the last time you saw the owner of Wet Seal on there? And, you know.
Well,
the other
interpretation of this is that they feel a vested interest to talk about whatever is going on that's positive in the economy. And if Amazon is what's positive in the economy, they'll talk about Amazon, but they're not going to talk about things that are negative in the economy, like Radio Shack. And I understand that. It's responsible on one level. It's deceptive on technically deceptive at the same time. It is a kind of responsible cheerleading in that they're trying to keep people's morale up. Now, we're on this program, and we're not trying to keep your morale up. We're going in the other direction. We're saying, look, we got a problem at Radio Shack and Aeropostal and Wet Seal and Sears and so on. We're not doing this, again, to try to it's not just fear-mongering. We're trying to give you the other side that you're not hearing from the mainstream media. We're not just pumping sunshine. We are trying to talk about the problems that are there, not simply to talk about problems, not simply to be negative, but to place this in perspective where people can say, wait a second, there is a problem here. And maybe we need to get prepared for that problem. All right? Maybe we can't just afford, as important as it is to maintain public confidence in the economy, it's also important to be objective. And that objectivity just might save you in a worst-case scenario. If you're going to just cheer, yay, everything's going great, if you're going to do that, you may be headed for a big surprise. And if you're not prepared for that surprise, you know, then that's what we're trying to do. Get ready. Get prepared, or at least make up your mind if you think that surprise is likely coming. Here's another one from the Associated Press. U.S. stocks decline as energy stocks slump. Home builders drop. New York, U.S. stocks declined early afternoon Tuesday as energy stocks slumped again. Home builders dropped after builder KB Homes said that demand for homes was weak. All we're talking about here is we've got a domino effect going on. And people are saying, yay, hey, energy is down, the price of gasoline is down. Yeah, but that means the energy sector is down as an investment in the stock market. It's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, sector in the stock market. It's going to adversely impact the stock market. It's going to adversely impact profits for a number of corporations. It's going to perhaps trigger some derivatives that are going to be allegedly, what, 300 billion?
Trillion.
Trillion here in the United States. Associated with the oil business and fracking and so on. The point is, once again, we are, you know, we're on the verge of something here.
And what's interesting is with this oil drop, you have Iran's Rouhani says that countries that are behind the oil price drop are going to suffer.
Yeah, this is from Reuters. And they're just Iranian President Hassan Rouhani said on Tuesday that countries behind the fall of global oil prices would regret their decision and warned that Saudi Arabia and Kuwait would suffer alongside of Iran from the price drop. Now, he goes on, he says, if Iran suffers from the drop in oil prices, know that other oil-producing countries, such as Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, will suffer more than Iran. This is the president of Iran. So what crosses my mind is, will Iran instigate some form of violence against the Saudis or Kuwait? Assassinations, bombings, support for dissidents within the Saudi Arabia or Kuwait? Will the fall in oil prices be stopped by economic forces of supply and demand? Or will they be stopped by military forces of bang, bang, and kaboom? The truth is that some oil-producing nations produce nothing but crude oil. Their national revenues could be down as much as 70%. That fall in revenues is not merely painful for people in those countries, but also exposes the governments of those countries to internal strife, chaos, and possible revolution. They aren't going to like that. The oil-producing nations that are being damaged by the fall in the price of crude oil must be furious and frightened and likely to blame nations like Saudi Arabia and Kuwait that are deemed responsible for the price fall. So I'm wondering, can we expect some oil-producing nations to take action, physical or economic vengeance, against the Saudis and the Kuwaitis? No longer the price, the longer the price of oil stays down, the more likely it is that one or more oil-producing nations will attack one way or another. They'll assault Saudi Arabia or Kuwait, and this might be the black swan event, you know, that triggers big trouble for all of us. So who knows? It's just strange. Low prices are hurting OPEC nations. OPEC nations are not likely to just sit there and say, well, we'll suffer through it. They're likely to react. If they do, we could see strange things happen in this world. I'm out of time. Melody's out of time. Program's out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. I want to thank all of you for listening. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Money, money, money. Money in a rich man's world. Money, money, money.